Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at AloraModernWellness.com.
Joined now by Charles Arbuckle for ESPN. He'll be on the call this weekend for Mississippi State versus Alcorn, along with some guy named Richard Cross. We don't need to talk about that guy.
Yeah, let's leave that guy out of this one.
Any way, shape, or form. I'm going to start about a question about being a commentator for a game like this. Mississippi State SEC team versus an FCS team. It's a game that in all likelihood is going to get out of hand probably pretty early in this one, be a little one-sided. As a commentator, how do you come into a game like this? What are you prepared to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I think you do you give the game justice, right? You work through all the different angles and you work with both teams. Even though on paper and then watching film, this week I had the same setup last week when we called South Carolina State South Carolina. And I kind of told people, though, I thought with that game being a state game like this one, South Carolina State actually has some pretty good weapons. And they hung around for about a quarter and a half. But the games like this turn with special teams, big plays, all of a sudden, you know, people lose focus. I mean, there was two punt return touchdowns back to back with a guy that you just don't kick the ball to. So, and then the game becomes a blowout. I think the one thing you want to do is give justice to both teams. I mean, there's a lot of history with Alcorn. Mississippi State is coming off of a huge win. So what I think is that could also kind of have them sleepwalking, because no matter how many times the coaches tell you, I can remember us playing Long Beach State. And did I prepare for Long Beach State like I did for Nebraska? In my mind, I did, but did my body do it? You know, so I think those are the things that you have to look at and just hope that the guys for Alcorn come in and don't logo stare and say, hey, look, let's go get these guys. Let's give them all we can and stay healthy, because I think that's the key game with this. And hopefully we don't have a lopsided game where we have to start telling some stories and just talking about these guys and the history and the legacy of both programs.
If you need stories about Richard, just hit me up. I'll be in the press box next door. I got plenty.
Okay.
You kind of hit on what I wanted to ask, though, because as a former player, you know, coaches talk about we're on to the next game and we're focused one week at a time. And I know that as a player, you know, you have a win like State had on Saturday. That's got to linger with you a little bit. As a player, how quickly can you turn the page to the next week, especially when you have an opponent that you know that you kind of outmatch?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question, because I almost call those hangovers.
Yeah.
And I think they can happen, and they do happen. You've got to learn how to get your team fired up. And I always say this, coaches can coach harder when you have big wins, especially like that win for Mississippi State. That was a huge win for them. I just look at Mississippi State because I've had the chance in the last 3 weeks to call three teams that are trying to claw to that next level of the SEC power, so to speak.
Right.
Vandy, week one, playing a team that they, you know, eventually just dominated. South Carolina, week two. Vandy and South Carolina play this week, and now Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think for them, the best thing that Jeff Lebby can do and his staffs are coach them even harder after that big win, because it's going to be a hangover effect. They're going to be people all week. Hey, man, great job. You know, we got Arizona State, a top 12 team. We did. And the coaches have to figure out how to cut out all that noise. And the one way you can do it is to say, okay, are we going to play our best ball against a team that we know we should dominate? And if they don't, then that gives them another reason for the next week to say, yeah, we may have won whatever, whatever, but we didn't play up to the standard that we need to play. And think about last week. They were that close to losing the game. So you have to figure out how to use what you did in a good way, but also in a way that you can coach even harder.
Is this a game where if Mississippi State was playing Tennessee or Texas A&M this week, you would be really concerned about that hangover?
I would be concerned about it, but I'd also know that they'd be very prepared because they know if you're playing a team like Tennessee with Joey Aguilar now, who can fling the ball, and you're going to see him in a few weeks, right?
Yes.
Luckily, you have him at home. That's one thing. And I'll say this: next week against Northern Illinois, I don't know their record, but I know Thomas Hammack has been a dragon slayer, so to speak, if he needs to be. And I've watched him since he was playing for Northern Illinois. I don't know what their record is, but you can't sleep on them. But Tennessee is one, and then at A&M. So I think what coaches start doing is we in the media, and myself included, just start looking, oh, what about this? What about this? You really have to start saying, we're playing this one week at a time, one play at a time, and make sure we stay focused on
I tell people all the time, like, I can look as far ahead as I want. That's not, I'm not the problem. It's other things.
that.
Let's talk about Blake Chapin. I think he's played at a pretty good level thus far this year. Four touchdowns to one interception. All four of his touchdown passes are 40-plus yards. So that score from far thing that Lebby likes to say all the time is happening. What do you like from what you've seen from Chapin thus far, and what don't you like?
I think he's done a pretty nice job protecting the football. I'd like to see his average completion percentage go up, which I think is the one area in that offense when you're at 65 to 70, 75%, you're really rolling. I know they've had some drops and some different things, but last week it seems like that second half they got on the same schedule. And the same schedule to me means you get to Brennan Thompson, right? You find him, or you the way this offense is designed. As you know, with the Baylor Tennessee principles, you spread them out and then you just find holes and gaps. I also think the other key for this team is as they run the football better, it makes Blake Chapin better. And I think that's the one thing with people. I always look at these Art Briles, Josh Heupel offenses. We look at the pass and we get enamored with that. But if they're running the football very well, it sets up so many things because your box. You have to come in the box, but you're so spread out. How do you guard against that? And I think that's where I like what Jeff Lebby and his offense has done about explosives. But I also think when they're running the football effectively, it makes Blake a lot better.
Yeah, when you want to get on Lebby or Heupel's good side, just talk about what a run-first offense they coach. They love to hear that. I'm gonna put one in your wheelhouse as a former All-American tight end. I like Sadu Traore a lot. I think he's got a lot of tools and could be a big-time player, but he has a tendency to disappear sometimes. No catches last week for Mississippi State. What does he need to do to take that next step in his game?
I think it keep improving. I mean, there's not a whole lot of football played in London, England, right?
No.
But he, a kid that's transferred in, and I've kind of watched him over the course of his career, and I expect a big season from him. I think the one thing for him is to find out where he fits in that offense consistently. Sometimes those spread offenses don't allow you to be, maximized the way you can be. But I think what he and Lebby and that offensive staff has to continue to do is understand that that's the biggest matchup problem you have, especially if you have guys outside the numbers. In between the hashes for me is where I live. As a tight end, that's where I make my money. And so I think that's what I expect to see from him consistently, not just this game, but really in some of these key games coming up. That's going to really help them because I told people this year I'm doing the Colts or some of the Colts radio broadcasts on the road, and I've told people I said Tyler Warren when I saw him in the first preseason game, but I actually saw him in practice because I watched him last year at Penn State. I said he's going to catch 70 passes if he stays healthy, and people were like, "Well, how do you know?" I said because they can't cover him. He's an issue inside and outside, and oh by the way, he's a willing blocker and can knock your ass in the dirt if he needs to inside. So I said he gives you problems in places that you can't. And I think that's the one thing that I look for with tight ends to see if they're willing blockers. Haven't seen enough film on Sadu, but I think from what I've seen at his size, he still looks he's got to put some more bulk on, but he's a real matchup problem in the pass game if he needs to be.
This team a season ago defensively, whatever bad words you want to use to describe them, that's what they were. They were the worst defense in the SEC by a large margin. It's only two games, but they look better at every position. Is it just a matter of they're just more talented this year, or are you seeing something from them that go, okay, they fixed this?
I think the one thing people rail on the transfer portal, but what I've seen from Vandy, South Carolina, and now on film, Mississippi State is they didn't do what I do when I go to Costco and I'm looking. My wife says, you know, I come in with $100 in my budget and you make it $200.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. They came in with $100 and they got the value items. They didn't go off kilter and got some key consistent people to come in and play. And I think defensively, that's what they needed. And you said a word, one word I really like that's in my wheelhouse right now is putrid. Defensively, they were putrid.
Dude, that is a word we use on this podcast all the time. My listeners will tweet at you and go, putrid, yes, go, keep going.
Yeah, I mean, but when you look at it now, a guy like Brandon Jennings, you know, Nick Mitchell, and I'm not saying transfers only, but I'm saying the transfer guys that have come in have made the guys that were already on this team better because it's elevated you. It's made you see. And I've even heard that when we've talked to some of the defensive players that we've gone to visit at campuses, they said, hey, this guy came in and right away he made us better because he was doing this, this, and this. And that's what I see with this defense. When I watch him on tape, you could see it. Arizona State was really getting after him. And then you saw a bunch of guys saying, hey, this is not, they're not going to kick our butt like they may have done in the past. We've got to find a way to get our offense the ball, make sure we make plays, get some stops, and turn this thing around. And I saw that. And, you know, and looking at their tape this year, that's what I see more of. Last year, I didn't see that. I did not see
Didn't
that at
exist.
all.
Didn't exist. Is this your first trip to Starkville?
No, I've been to Starkville a couple of times.
Okay, so
Stark
you're prepared.
Vegas.
I don't know that the Arizona State people were prepared for the Cowboys,
Cowbells.
but you will be.
Yeah. They need to go watch the Will Ferrell episode as loud as you
Did
can.
it go?
And yeah. Because my ears, dude, my ears were ringing. I didn't realize the
Yeah.
first time I got there
Yeah.
was it was the Dan Mullen era, and my ears were just ringing. People kept saying, bring things to cover your ears. I said, well, I'm calling the game. I can't do that. I got to listen to what's going on.
Just it's just the way that it goes. Charles, looking forward to seeing you in the press box on Saturday on the call with Richard Cross for Mississippi State and Alcorn. Charles Albuckle, thanks so much for your time, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, you're welcome. I'll try to keep the game above the board because I don't know what Richard sometimes, you know, he
Don't let
needs
him
more
slide into
cowbells or something.
politics. That's what he's
Oh,
doing these
well,
days.
no, I will not let him do that. He tries to be slick and all that, but no, we got it
Just bring up how
covered.
much money he has. Just he loves to talk
Okay,
about that. So thanks, Charles. We
all right,
appreciate you.
take care. All right, take care.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.